Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel. From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Come, thou Almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise. Father all-glorious or all-victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. The second stanza begins with, Come, thou incarnate Word. And the third, Come, Holy Comforter. And the fourth, To the great three-in-one, eternal praises be. Listen to it as it's sung. Reading today from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let's pray, giving thanks for these words, for what's described here, this wonderful way of God through Christ for us, for sinners, how much we need it. Earlier, the first chapter, from darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Later, in that same chapter, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. If we would think as we should, instead of being guilty of not taking that which is spiritually discerned, we would see the wonder of it. We would see the fullness of it. We would see the need of it. We would see the blessing of it. If we had it, we would be thankful for it. If we didn't have it, we would do, as God tells us, strive to enter in, with a warning that many shall seek and shall not be able when once the Master hath closed the door. Those that are ready will be in. Those that are not ready will be forever left out. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, Thy Son, He who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And He is not only alone in that, but complete in that. As we read, complete in Him. And all these different blessings described, each time we read it, Father, we see anew some more blessing, some more of what we need, some more of what is given through and because of Christ, given by faith. And yet we give thanks, Father, that it is not only a faith that we have, but a faith that is given. And as we read, through the operation of Thee, who raised up Christ from the dead, that Thou dost meet that same need in us, raising us from the deadness of our sin, to be able to see the kingdom, to be able to be willing to enter into the kingdom, and actually to have the blessings of the kingdom through Christ. We pray it, Father, for the church to be revived in it. We pray for the world to be awakened. We pray for many to be called to preach that gospel soon to every creature, and that all nations might hear and fear and turn unto Thee. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing in the secondary ways as well, for those who need Thy blessing in the wakes of storms that have come, the homes that have been destroyed in flood, others in hunger, in famine, drought, fire, wind, the different calamities that many have experienced. We give thanks when we have blessing of food, raiment, and abundance, and others do not. And we pray, Father, for them. We pray for those in sickness and injury, that they might have faith to look to Thee for healing and be given that blessing through faith. We pray for those also that must remain in sickness and in injury through life. They might have the grace to bear under it, to live with it. And especially we pray for those that will soon meet Thee in death through illness, accident, and natural ways, that they might be prepared for that solemn hour, and others' needs also may be met through Christ, in whose name we give thanks and pray. Amen. Looking at this word once again, to this church that had experienced these blessings, and Paul continues to describe one blessing after another. We saw last week how that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God shows Himself in Christ. He is rightly named Emmanuel, God with us. He is one with the Father. He was one with the Father in creation, one with the Father through all of history. Micah could speak of Him being born as a baby in Bethlehem, but he spake of Him whose goings forth have been of old. And we read Paul's words, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same. In one way, He became a man, but He was still Jesus Christ the Lord before that and during that short time that He was a man here on earth, those 30-some years. Very short in comparison to going back to the time that He created the world. Not the millions and billions, as foolish people give their theories and their lies, but simply the thousands of years as we have it in Scripture. Yes, God's holy word. How thankful we can be that we have this Bible. Not only the things written in it, but the Bible itself, that we might know these things. They are true. What you can read in newspapers, some books, magazines, much of it is lies. Some of it totally contradicts others, other writings. One part of our nation writes against the other part. And like is often said, they can both be right. But sadly, very sadly, they both can, and I believe are, wrong. We're all coming short of the glory of God. We all, in our nation, and I don't think if there's some exceptions to it that they'll care if I say it, we're without the fear of God. That's why we murder our unborn so carelessly. And those that want to do it are adamant. Those that say it's wrong are altogether too silent. Where's our Congress? We talk about a Congress now made up of the majority of those that would say we are against abortion. But what is being done? It goes on every day, every day, every day. Murder, 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 murder by the thousands. And by much more than that when we take the whole world, the rest of the world, the other nations. God looks down angrily and declares, as he did of Judah, he could not pardon that nation because of the innocent blood that was shed. He was long-suffering. He warned and warned and warned through, particularly, Jeremiah for those 40 years. But then judgment came terribly, awfully. The land was, as it were, wiped out, even as he said, as a man would take a dish and wipe it on one side, then on the other. The land and the people, the land laid empty for those 70 years. What will happen to our nation? Judgment is there. We need this. We need it desperately. We need to begin where we read the first verse. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and the tradition of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. We saw that a couple of weeks ago, somewhat, and I'm sure there's more to give heed to beware of, than what we think. We have here the word philosophy. We also have in our society much that could be called by other names, as well as philosophy, fables, as Paul speaks of it, writing to Timothy. And then we think of psychology. We think of all the ways of such teaching, such emphasis, such bondage, I think we could say. There's a very unhappy group when we have the psychologists themselves. There is much taking of their own life in that profession. I've been told that it's one of the highest. They don't have the answer. Here is the answer for you. You are the problem. God has the answer. And we are to beware that we don't take the answer from others that are just as wrong as ourselves. Like again, going back to Jeremiah, they cried peace, peace, when there was no peace, and the people loved to have it so. No peace. People just said, peace, peace. We hear that today as well, especially from politicians. Put me in office, that will take care of it. No, except the Lord, build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. We need what Paul described earlier. Almost each week we have rehearsed the blessings that were given. We can see it described. We can see it described in different ways of what God does in us and for us. We can see it described also in the way that after God works it in us, we work it out. Paul began with that working out in the beginning of this letter. In the third verse of the first chapter, he said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. That was the working out of what God did in us in the very words that we read today of the circumcision made without hands. God did that. And then they had faith. They had love. Then later in the chapter we read of what God did, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He came to our rescue, but he also had a place to put us, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. David describes it in Psalm 40 as, he took me out of a horrible pit and placed my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praise to God. A little bit later in the same chapter, again, we have the description of where we were, what we did, and what we needed, and what he gave us, all from him. Verse 21, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's where God found me when he started to call me by his grace, by his word, and by his spirit and power. That's where we were, alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled. He did it. He comes to us, turns us by Christ. Like Peter said, referring back to the promise God gave to Abraham, said, "On thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And Peter, shortly after the day of Pentecost, stated that God, having blessed you and turning every one of you from his iniquities, that's the blessing promised to Abraham and given when Christ comes to us and calls us out of the wilderness of sin. Then, as we read last week, again, the outworking of it as we actually experience it. Verse 6 of the second chapter, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's the working out after God translates us into his dear Son. That process of God calling, justifying, sanctifying, glorifying, we receive Christ. We're brought to repentance toward God, faith toward Christ. We then know the need of having Christ. And it is described in Scripture both ways. One is that God reveals him to us. Another is that we receive him. Both are wonderfully true. But it is all by grace, and it is all because of God giving Christ and Christ giving himself on the cross, as we would have read the next verse after verse 21, the first chapter, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, his death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He could take that sinner, you and me, set him before God and say, my death paid his sin. My death paid her sin. Do you know that? If you do, you will be, as we read last week in verse 10, the second chapter, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Again, over and over, that was emphasized in the first chapter as well. The 17th verse, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I think of the number of times that we read these things here. And I think of God's word as we read in the book of Job. God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. How many of us know rightly who Christ is, what he has done, that he might have the preeminence in all things, that he is the head of all principality and power, all, as he said after his resurrection, his crucifixion and resurrection, before he ascended to heaven, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. As people plan, he with the Father are described as watching, hearing their plans, and sitting in heaven and laughing at their plans. I don't think God could be described as laughing about sin. He's angry with sin. He's grieved over sin. But he laughs about the plans that we make that may never materialize. Like some of the stories that Christ gave while he was on earth. The man who said, I'll take down my barns and build better, and then I'll have a whole lot to live off from. Christ said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. His plans were there. But God's judgment came. Will that be true of you and me? Will we be ready? Will we be made by God through his word, by his spirit, because of Christ's death complete in him. All these things are there together. They're all part of the whole. And we don't have to be a professor to know those things. We do have to be, as Christ said, like a little child, so we can be taught. We don't have to recite it over and over. Rather, God said through Paul, writing to the church at Rome, that every mouth may be stopped. Stopped. That we're ready to listen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I say that, I'm reminded of a story of a little girl that went to the house of a preacher quite late at night, a rainy night, knocked on the door. And when he came to the door, she says, "Can you come and get my mother in?" And it was raining. He thought she was out somewheres on the street. He says, "Well, you better get a policeman. He's dressed for that and he can do that." And the little girl says, "No, my mother's in the house. She's sick. She's dying. And she wants to get in. She wants to get in the kingdom of God." And so the preacher dressed and went down there. A preacher that, like so many, preach what is called the social gospel. We can help ourselves. We need to help others. We hear today of peace and justice and many different phrases, but not like Christ said to the apostles, preach the gospel. And like Paul said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." And as Christ also said, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached to all nations in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. This man had not done that. He would be what we could call a liberal preacher, modern ways. But he had been thankfully taught when he was a child by his mother many scriptures. And as he went to this woman, he thought, here she's laying, a woman poor, lived a sinful life, and now she wants to go to heaven. I can't give her the social gospel. Won't help her. So he thought, what did my mother tell me? One of the verses that came to him was, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And remembering it, he quoted it to her. And she said, that ought to get me in. And then he quoted some other verses to her. And finally he quoted the one of Paul writing to Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And she said, if the chief of sinners could get in, that ought to get me in too. And the wonderful part of the story was that the preacher and the woman got in together, believing God's word simply. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's repentance. That's acknowledgement that God is right and we are wrong. If we know that we're the chief of sinners, our mouth will be stopped. No more talking about others. We're guilty. And then Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That's the answer. If we know those two things rightly, it's that simple. You must know, with Paul, that you're the chief of sinners. You have done sin that nobody else did. So have I. Different than everybody else. Yes, they may have different sins, and we can point to them. But God points to ours. Do we know them? Paul said, enmity, alienated, darkness. That's where we are. But we have here the way to be complete in Christ. Oh, how it needs to be shouted from the housetops. How our country needs it. How our churches need it. How our homes need it. How the world needs it. Here's the answer. Not only are we complete in him, but we have this blessing in the 11th verse. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Once again, we the sinner, he the Savior, putting off the body of sins. When David talked about his sins, he said, they're more than the hairs of my head, more than I can count. Paul lists those sins in Romans 3. He calls our mouth, our throat, an open sepulcher, shining down to a heart that's dead. And here he speaks of we being dead in sin and quickened together with Christ. The 13th verse, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. When that woman said, I need to get in, she knew she had her sins forgiven. And so did the man that probably didn't realize his sins up to that night. We don't know how true the story is, but certainly it is an example, a lesson that we can learn from. We, the preachers, every person needs to be brought in by the Word of God, brought in from darkness to light, brought from Satan to God, brought from sin to salvation. And here he does it by the circumcision made without hands. It's simply another way of stating, as Christ did to Nicodemus, recorded in John chapter 3. Christ spoke very abruptly when he came. He called Christ a good teacher, but Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A little bit later, he stated, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes we call it the circumcision made without hands. We call it being born again. We call it the new birth. We can call it regeneration. We can call it quickening. It's all what God does to the sinner who is dead, dead in sin, that we can be proud in it, foolish in it, not knowing it. But when God awakens us, like we can read in Scripture, and even what we can read in Philippians there, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If that's true after God saves us, how much more it should be true when we get awakened first, like Paul, trembling and astonished. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? Paul was an example. Paul was a pattern. Paul wrote this to the Colossians, and to you, and to me. Have you had this blessing, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins by the flesh of the circumcision of Christ? Christ does it all, and he is all in all. He must have the preeminence. Will you give it to him?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.